You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Garth Amundsen and Pierre Gore. Garth and Pierre, thanks so much for being with me today.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for inviting us.
Garth and Pierre, let's begin by talking just about your collaboration. Can you, before we get into the work that's happening now or recent work, can you both take turns, but tell me a little bit about the nature of the collaborative and how it started.
Yeah, it kind of started, this is Garth, by the way. It started very organically. We've been making our own work for years, and we met at a residency in Banff, Alberta, in Canada. And while we were there, we had done some collaborative projects which involved papermaking, right, Pierre? Can you correct me on the dates and everything? And then from that, we always maintained separate studios, but then we started working on specific projects together. And one would, you know, just like any other collaborative team, would be the lead, someone would have an idea, and then the other person would be kind of assisting. And it happened really organically. And again, we've been doing it for over 30 years. So it depending on the project. So sometimes if it requires either photo appropriation or manipulation or the physical studio aspect of it, the practical part, and then another person will be, as Pierre calls it, the ideas person or the lead in conceptual aspects of the project. So, and it's worked out really well.
Yeah, this is Pierre, and I just wanted to add on to that. When we first started exhibiting, we had our separate works in shows, and we realized that the topics and the themes that we were working on were very similar, just done I come from a painting and drawing sort of background, and Garth in drawing and painting and photo, and we just started noticing that rather than, you know, having two separate bodies of work, that we would integrate them together. And then that's really how it started, sort of the collaboration process. I mean, we, as a couple, as Garth mentioned, over 35 years, we sort of go back and forth with, you know, talking about ideas and our work, and this came to a head in terms of actually working together and creating installations together.
Pierre, it's only 34 years. Don't date us. 34 years.
But, so
1985.
Okay. So tell me a little bit about maybe one of the first collaborations you did together. Just and then we could talk about current work. But I know your work back as far as 2011 when you first got some reviews. But is there another work that you guys have done together that would kind of typify your approach and something that was particularly successful in terms of message and total work in terms of your work together?
Well, I think Pierre mentioned that the themes and the ideas and the research overlapped in our work, and I think that's its strength, is that, you know, you're a collaborative team. I know you work with your partner, the idea that one person will take on the research aspect of it, and then the other take on the physical studio part, and I just off the top of my head, think of a project we had at Acme Art in Ohio and in Cleveland, or Columbus rather, and where I was featuring and sewing together these photo-appropriated images from Dr. Kemp's research. He was a turn-of-the-century psychopathologist using these very iconic images, and Pierre was working with, in his painted work, was working with portraits of heads. And so we were dealing with both the idea of identity and the political, historical ramifications of those images, but also they had this relationship physically to one another. There was still the aestheticized part of them. So they without oversimplifying, they kind of work together as this huge circular configuration. And so, and that happened there, again, I mentioned organically earlier, it happened in the studio where we started playing off images, off one another. I was making these almost mask-like ideas dealing with the very literal notions of the masquerade and social construction of identity and gender roles. And then Pierre was dealing with, Pierre, you can take it, with those...
Yes, I was working with images out of pornographic magazines of men in ecstasy. So I had these expressions on these very small circular paintings. So the paintings were great juxtapositions to the sutured sort of masks that Garth was making. So they were working off of one another. But I think the real collaboration started in a residency in the Czech Republic. We were there for 3 months. And we started, we had access to this really beautiful vitrine. And we were thinking about, you know, what can we do, you know, together. So we started filling our underwear with plaster and suspending them in the vitrine. And so that kind of, we were interested in ideas of masculinity. You know, I went there, I'm a Canadian citizen, and Garth's American, and we were viewed as separate artists, and they didn't see us as a couple. And so we started using our own experience, thinking about, you know, our own relationship vis-a-vis, you know, the rest of the world, and we hung our underwear together to sort of talk about issues of
coupling,
same-sex coupling, as well as the view of same-sex couples as only thinking of sexuality. So we hung these forms in these vitrines that were very comical, but also dealt with issues that we were sort of interested in. And I believe that was the very first sort of collaborative project that we sort of exhibited.
Yeah, I was thinking about that project.
Pierre, please continue. Talk a little bit about that, because that was also, of course, at a residency where you were getting feedback, I would imagine, too.
Right, right. And so we were, while we were there, you know, we met artists. It was all international artists from Russia, from Lithuania, Argentina, from the Czech Republic. And we were essentially the representatives of the United States and Canada. And, you know, our work was really focused in on was, you know, sort of our own autobiographical experiences compared to what the other artists were working on. So there was a great dialogue in terms of how, you know, they saw the work. We also traveled quite a bit while we were there. This was in 1999, and that was one of the years that the Venice Biennale was on, so we wanted to travel. And somebody had written, and Garth, maybe you can paraphrase this a lot better than written on the vitrine.
Right, they kind of finished this. The guy from Amsterdam, because I think there were myths that, I mean, you know, we were traveling throughout Europe, and part of any residency for us is kind of research and collecting and experiencing new things, whether it be food or travel or, in this case, the biennial. And I think there were myths that we left, so they wrote on the side of the vitrine, Garth and Pierre travel here, there, and everywhere, and they just left us their underwear or something like that. And I think they thought we were there was some kind of sarcastic thing, but I thought it was in a Duchampian moment. It was really great. We just left it on the side of the vitrine.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a great rapport with the residents. It was really fantastic. And that Pierre mentioned the idea of kind of subjective and objective sexuality. And we were really exploring with those ideas, because this preoccupation with role-playing and who, you know, this, the power structures within relationships, there's all within queer couples or any couple, I think there's always this question, but specifically within queer couples, that's what we were addressing with the underwear piece. this idea of relationship.
Yeah, go on with that. Maybe extend that a little further. So the question you're addressing in terms of relationship is...
So it's this idea of subjective and objective sexuality. And I'm paraphrasing here. I, at the time, was reading... it was either same-sex unions or the arena of masculinity, but this idea that objective sexuality is in the bedroom and then the subjective is anything beyond that. And so being reduced to the bedroom, being reduced to underwear, being reduced to your sexuality was kind of a preoccupation at the time within our work. And so making this vitrine and anytime you put your relationship on display or subject to inspection, we were also playing with ideas of museology, taxonomy, the idea, you know, very postmodern ideas of the museum and how knowledge is presented, and if it's presented in a specific way, in this case, suspended in a vitrine, almost like trophies, we were subject and opening the dialogue for inspection. Now I look at it and it seems very literal, but it was a really great way to strike up a dialogue. And again, this is 1999, and we had been together for years already, but playing with and continuing the dialogue about identity politics.
And Pierre, let's talk about what's first to add to that. Yeah, do you want to add to that, Pierre?
Yeah, so this really opened up a great new avenue for us in terms of, you know, making work that would be in conversation or that would have more conversation around it, that had more interaction in terms of asking questions about, you know, not just the objects themselves, but having us sort of interact with the audience. So we, rather than, even though this plastered piece was in a vitrine, it sort of pushed us further and sort of opening up and creating installations that had more participatory type of interactions. And that it would open up a sense of communication in terms of not strictly a didactic view on same-sex couples, but it would just open it up in terms of relationships altogether and how, you know, we're no different than any other couples. And this is, you know, we're going back to 1999. Again, under the law, I was on a visa. We were not seen as a couple because of the DOMA, the Defense of Marriage Act. Every time we crossed the border, it was an issue in terms of how the federal government saw us separate under the eyes of the law. So we were really dealing with those types of issues, and I think it came much more open in terms of what we wanted to do within our own work. And I think by 2006, I was denied entry into the U.S. because they didn't see us as a couple. And so the immigration officer pointed his finger in my face and he said, if you were a woman, things would be different. And so this event even pushed us further into thinking about home, domesticity, immigration, and we kind of made work based on that. Garth had received a Fulbright in Mexico and was taking images of houses under construction called Obra Negras, and I was in Canada, and we were thinking about a sense of place and a sense of home, and so I was looking at old vintage images of in Life magazines about ideas, idealized versions of what home was like, and we were juxtaposing those idealized images with reality of images of these homes that were under construction. Bart, can you expand on the Obra Negras project?
Oh, sure. I mean, during my Fulbright and Brainerd, you can jump in. I feel like we're monopolizing.
Sure. No, that's okay. That's okay. You can go into the next project. I was going to ask about what you're working on now, next, but yeah, please expand on that if you'd like.
Well, the truth of the matter is that our work, I think like most of this, and kind of seamlessly, is one project fuels another, and they're all kind of connected, because Pierre just jumped from 99 to 2006, but in my mind's eye, that work is still very much, well, it's still relevant to us, but it's, they're all interrelated. But to Pierre's point, the Obra Negra project, which I was lucky enough to receive a Fulbright for a year, and I went and taught and then did my research while I was there. As Pierre mentioned, during that time, he was denied entry into the U.S., and I don't really, we summarize this so much, but it was, you know, by throwing a lot of money at it and a lot of time, we were able to be reunited, but we were separated at the border. And the work that I was doing suddenly started being a lot more relevant in terms of the, in the context of immigration politics, because at the time, the kind of template was the primary breadwinner in Mexico would leave, come to the U.S. or North America, work, send money, and then these homes would be built over a period of time. And they, for me and for us, they started becoming more relevant in that they symbolized this need to create some kind of domestic, safe, you know, place. And so we pursued that as a topic. And the politics in between the Defense of Marriage Act being overturned and our marriage not being recognized and being separated at the border, again, we use our own, to quote Pierre, this idea of our own autobiographical impulse, or using our own history to fuel our work. So they're inseparable. I'm rambling a little bit there, but hopefully that will help explain the work.
That does help. And let's talk about what you're working on, what you're both working on now collaboratively. Is there a current project or something you're moving towards?
Yeah, we have a couple of things coming up. We're doing a lecture at San Art Center in Ho Chi Minh City in Vietnam. And we've been, I'm a snapshot photographer that's gone from physical 4x6 snapshots to digital. And so we've had this huge archive or boxes of images, and we started sewing them together, make in these kind of concentric rings. They're in circles, and working side by side, we've been stitching and sewing these images together. At first, we both thought they'd be more like calendars or records, but I think, Pierre, you can jump in at any point, but this idea of our personal history, you know, I just don't want to end up at an estate sale being sold for pennies. And so there's this record, maybe it's, as we're getting older, this urgency to record or kind of mark some of the events that we've experienced. And the snapshot photographs do that exceedingly well. So we've been sewing these all together. And, you know, it sounds kind of cliche, but this idea of some of these experiences really do talk about the universality of human experience. And Pierre, did you want to jump in about either the physical or the theoretical?
We have, you know, over 50 totes of these snapshot images of our life together. And, you know, what happens with those images? And so for us, it was a matter of re-looking at the images and thinking of them in a different context and sort of putting them together in sort of a formal way, but validating our existence together and, you know, creating something new out of these past experiences that we've had by recording essentially a life together. And so,
yeah, I mean, not to interrupt, but there is this kind of alchemy involved where we take, I think we're probably both in the same school of thought, where taking literally nothing and creating something out of it, whether it's Pierre recycling and using house paint in painting, or me using, you know, a photo appropriation, and this idea of reuse and reusing and recycling within our work. Not to sound too Northwest hippy-dippy, but we really do reuse projects and recycle projects that they have by recontextualizing them, literally, physically, reconstructing them, and then addressing issues of either social construction and literal construction, too. So kind of conflating, you know, both the medium and this idea of our personal memories and history.
And to talk a little bit about the current project, how will that look when finished? How will that be presented? I know you don't entirely know, but just to visualize that a little bit, how will that look like in terms of
the
final
manifestation?
We've constructed one.
We've constructed one already, and some of them, they range, I don't know what the first one is, probably about 6 foot across, and they are literally concentric rings of photographs stitched together. And then almost in a bullseye configuration, they go from a larger to smaller, 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 until they get quite small. So they resemble, I don't know, Pierre Gore, what's your word? What do they resemble? I keep thinking of targets.
They look like celebratory ribbons that you would get at a horse fair or something like that. That's what that reminds me of. They're crudely stitched together. You know, the mark of a hand is very much evident in the line that you see from the stitchery. So they're crudely sort of put together, and they kind of, right now they're sitting off of the wall, but they might float into the space, depending on how we put those together. So right now they're sort of floating and sitting around the wall, kind of being put together and seeing how they read. Like, what are we reading out of the images that are being put together? And what kind of story do they tell? What kind of reaction will the viewer have when looking at these types of images that are put together?
I mean, for me, they have almost like a cinematic or filmic quality because they, even though it's not a physical flip book, they have passages in them. So I keep thinking about them as sentences and a paragraph and how they're constructed together, that either you read it, and they're nonlinear because they're circular, but you can read it from the inside out or from the outside in. So the narrative, if there is a narrative, is broken and nonlinear for me. I mean, again, each one is slightly different, and we have been organizing and culling through the images to sort and sift through these 30-plus years of images and come up with topics, themes. So some of them very well might be portraits in a way, because they'll be comprised of all the images of us. You know, again, I've said this before, and Pierre, I don't know if Pierre likes this, but we may not have the best relationship, but we have the best documented one. So we have tons of these images of us, you know, gallivanting. And we've moved quite a bit. You know, we've landed in Bellingham, who the longest we've lived someplace. So between Syracuse, New Mexico, Montreal, Toronto, Vancouver, and then in addition to all the residencies, we're both pretty good about, you know, we're good documentarians. We've really taken snapshots. And so this is a good way to kind of reflect, remember, and then reconfigure this, you know, the specific project. To me, sometimes they look like, Pierre mentioned, horse trophies, but this idea of a wreath, they look like a celebratory wreath in a way. So that has all other kinds of symbols too.
I like that. Before I ask the both of you the last question about what you're reading, is there anything else you want to add before I do ask that last question? I mean, this has been wonderful the way you've answered this and the insights into your work thus far. There will be links in this interview, so listeners can, of course, find out more about your work and some of the things we've been discussing. But do either one of you want to add anything more that wasn't touched on or that you wanted to add in here?
Thank you for the opportunity. What a great opportunity for us. I mean, I'm curious about your own collaborative effort, but I think that's probably a separate discussion. Pierre, do you have anything to add?
Well, that even though our work is autobiographical, what we're hoping is that you know, people will be able to see sort of beyond just sort of a queer couple, but just be fascinated with sort of the development of a relationship that has occurred. So I'm interested in sort of having more communication about not only our relationship, but others who have gone through similar experiences. And when we had done a residency in Bellagio through the Rockefeller Center, the Rockefeller Foundation. We were working on finding out other binational queer couples and finding about their stories about how they had to live together under DOMA. We believe now that everything has been resolved in terms of same-sex marriage, but there is quite a bit of work to do in terms of acceptance and just making sure that the events that have occurred in the past are not forgotten, that the trials and tribulations for those who love one another, who want to live together, and the extremes that they had to go through to do that, we're still sort of cataloging those narratives. That is an underlying project that we started a few years ago.
That's a nice place to leave off.
Yeah, that is a nice place to leave off. And so let me ask you both, what are you currently reading at the moment? What's on your nightstands?
Well, you know, during the summer, it's quite eclectic. Part of our reading stuff, we've been listening to a book on tape of the what's the Brinks, but the Nickel Boys, and that has been quite fascinating. I'm also reading and doing some of my own work because I'm interested in sort of fairy tales and the ways in which those have been presented to American audience. So I'm reading a very old book called Man, Magic, and Fantasy, and actually just rereading fairy tales and the way in which the stories have shifted and sort of a Disney-esque sort of added quality has taken over sort of some of these fairy tales and how these children's sort of stories indicate ways of understanding and relating to one another. So I'm kind of fascinated with that. I'm also reading another old book called Sodomy and the Pirate Tradition, and that has to do with male-dominated areas and the relationships in which occurred during the 17th century. And then we recently took some students to New York and bought a few catalogs on Mika Rotenberg and Neil Roche. So I'm kind of looking at those in terms of references.
You're so comprehensive.
And do you have any more to add to that?
I mean, during the summer, I usually, you know, I teach full-time, and we're lucky enough to have sabbaticals in the fall to go to Vietnam, and we're doing a conference in Alaska and doing some other traveling. But I'm always trying to infuse and trying to kind of queer photography's history a little bit and trying to figure out how to integrate that into the classroom. So I'm reading Minor White, which really fascinating to look at modern photography. I, you know, how photography or art history was taught, and there was always time to incorporate kind of the sexual escapades and antics of heterosexual couples, but queer couples were always neutralized. And so to look at Minor White, to relook at those photographs and how they were constructed is pretty interesting. There's a couple things in Aperture, and I've been looking at other information about his work and kind of, you know, just really clearing the archives and doing a little bit of revisionist history. That's probably my goal for the summer. And how I incorporate that in the classroom, too, with all these preconceived notions and assumptions about a heterosexist imperative in terms of photo history.
Garth and Pierre, I want to thank you both for talking to me today. It's really been a pleasure and wish you both well in your upcoming year, which sounds exciting.
Thank you again
for
inviting us.
Thank you very
much
for the opportunity.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.